Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin is Gimel. We are in Beis Amud Beis. We are starting towards the bottom of the Amud. We are four lines from the bottom with the words V'hadinan. And we are getting very detailed regarding the Mishnah. We always do that, but I would say yesterday's daf would be certainly a stronger version of just being very detail-oriented regarding every word of the Mishnah. We went over the first four words of the Mishnah. That's pretty detail-oriented. The Mishnah opened up yesterday. We started the Masechta, the new Masechta Kedushin, and we learned about how to affect Kedushin. There are three ways in which you can affect Kedushin, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. And so the Mishnah that we saw yesterday obviously was very careful about the words that it chose, and the Gemara is picking up on every word that the Mishnah used. Yesterday, Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalosh Derachim. So we went over those four words of the Mishnah yesterday, and why those word choices? Number one, why do we say Ha'isha? Why do we come from the perspective of Ish? Obviously, Kedushin involves both Ish v'Isha. How come the Mishnah over here starts with the Isha and her perspective? The next parak, which is not for a while, the next parak starts on Mem Aleph. So Ha'ish Mekadesh. So obviously focusing on the man. Niknes, she is acquired. Why don't we say Miskadeshes? In fact, later in the second parak, same Mishnah, Mem Aleph. So it says Ish Mekadesh. So there we're using Mekadesh. Over here we're using Niknes. Shalosh. So why Shalosh? It should be Shlosha. So, and finally, Derachim. Why the word Derachim? Maybe it should be Devarim. Okay, so all these questions were asked yesterday, addressed yesterday. So if you want a review of why specifically all these word choices, so go back to yesterday's daf and review yesterday's daf. Meanwhile, picking up where we left off yesterday. So we're still focusing on the word Derachim as opposed to Devarim. Why Derech? So if you remember yesterday, the Gemara already gave a couple of suggestions of why the word Derech as opposed to Davar. Right? Yesterday, we just came off the Gemara's answer of Rabbi Shimon. Mimnei ma'amra Torah ki yikach ish isha velo kasav kisa lakach isha li'ish. Mimnei shedarcho shal ish lechazal isha. So in other words, what's the normal Derech? Derech is that the man is going to be courting the woman, not the opposite. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon says, because that's what happened. Kadosh Baruch Hu took the tzela away from Adam, and Adam now is looking for the rest of his life to retrieve in that lost item, that tzela. So anyway, so that's why the word derech. And that was the second suggestion of yesterday. The Gemara gave another proposal as well. Again, go back to yesterday's daf for a review of why the word derech. The Gemara now is going to be sticking on this question, specifically on this choice of word of derech as opposed to davar. We're going to point out there are a couple of Mishnayos that seem to also prefer the word derech. And whatever explanation we gave here in Kedushin is not going to work over there. Let's see it all together inside. V'adidnan. We're in Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. We learned in a Mishnah, B'zayin Derachim Bodkim B'Sazav. So there are seven ways in which you're Bodek B'Sazav. So we touched on this topic yesterday. And again, the same thing today. We're not going to go into it in any kind of depth. But in other words, for a man to be Azav, so he has to have an emission, a discharge. And he becomes Tamei. But the discharge has to come me gufo, and it can't come me own. So there cannot be an external force that is going to be causing him to have this discharge. So, and what kind of examinations are going to need to see whether or not it was unknown? So there are seven different types of examinations. And again, we are not going to go through the Mishnah here in any kind of depth. Over here, we're just focusing on the word derech. B'zayin derechim bodkim esazav. Listen to Devarim. So the Gemara says again, so why an unusual word choice? Why the word derech? In other words, if there are seven different ways and we're going to check, so it should be zayin devarim, right? Derechim, again, an unusual choice of word. So the Gemara says, okay, but I can give an explanation. Derech over there means that if you habituate yourself to certain activities, like overeating, like over drinking, so then what's going to happen is that you're going to become a zav. In other words, so the word derech over there just simply says that bad habits lead to bad results. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? We have a Mishnah in Bikurim. So, right, we went over it in Rosh Hashanah. I see on the side also it's in Sukkah as well. But anyway, Esrog Shavali Ilan Begimel Derachim. So the Esrog fruit. So it is an unusual fruit, a little bit of a hybrid, if you will. Hybrid in halacha, that means to say, meaning we know it's a fruit. But it's a little bit of a hybrid in halacha. In certain ways, it behaves like a tree. And in certain ways, it behaves like a plant. So, and that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Esrog Shavali Ilan Begimel Derachim. That in three ways, it's going to be similar to that of a tree. And it's going to be similar to that of a yerek, of a vegetable, b'derech echad. Right? So listen to Devarim. So the Gemara wants to know, once again, what an unusual word choice. So So the Gemara starts off by saying, well, you know how the Mishnah likes symmetry, and we use the word derech in the second half of the Mishnah, so therefore we're using derech in the first half of the Mishnah as well. Seifa nami nisnei davar. The Gemara says, okay, but that's not a convincing answer. We could have used davar in the second half of the Mishnah as well. As we are now on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Hasam HaKamash Malan, D'Darcha D'Esro Ki Yerek, Mayerek D'Darcho Ligadol Kol Mayim, Uvishas L'Kita So Isu Ro, Av Esro D'Darcho Ligadol Kol Mayim, Vishas L'Kitu So Isu Ro. So again, the Gemara gives an answer. Now, by the way, one of the things that I'm not going to be spending time with is, in what ways is the Esro going to be similar to that of a tree? And what in the three areas in which it's similar to a tree, the one area in which it's similar to a yerek. See Rashi over here who goes through the agricultural halachas. Again, the Gemara over here is only bringing this in tangentially because the Mishnah is using the word derech as opposed to davar. So what I'll do right now is I'll just simply bypass. I will excuse myself and all of us. I guess I kind of have that authority. I'm not going to go through the halachas right now in terms of which agriculture halachas are we talking about. See Rashi for that. Meanwhile, just to focus on why the word derech. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because derecheha. Because it's the nature, it's the way of a esrog that it is mayerek darko ligado akol mayim. What it's able to do is that in terms of how it's going to get irrigated, so you need mayim she'uvim. In other words, you need actual manual irrigation, right? As opposed to trees, how do trees get irrigated? It's called rain, right? Rain falls down and saturates the trees, and that's all you need. That's what's called rov mayim. But when it comes to a esrog tree, so it needs kol mayim, it needs manual irrigation. So because it needs manual irrigation, so therefore the esrog is going to, in halacha, be treated like a vegetable. Again, in certain halachas. So mayerek darko ligado, I'm reading the Gemara in a second line down, mayerek darko ligado kol mayim, uvishas likituso isuro, af esrog darko ligado kol mayim, vishas likituso isuro. So when it comes to a yerek, so what year is going to be determined? What year is it going to be connected to when I pluck it out of the ground? In other words, when it comes to yerakos, when it comes to vegetables, which Rashi acknowledges, by the way, is not chayv in shumas amaisos midaraisa midarabanan, but doesn't matter. Which year is it connected to? And Rashi over here goes through the schedule. We've gone through the schedule time and again, and that in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. So it's going to be Truma Gedola, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. In year 3 and 6, it's going to be Truma Gedola, Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Ani. And so therefore, it is critical to know which year to connect it to so that we know whether or not it's going to be Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. So it's going to be following the rules of Yerek. The rules of Yerek is that the year that it's connected to is the year that is the moment in which I pluck it out of the ground. And the same thing is true regarding the Esro. The moment I pluck off the fruit from the tree, that's the year in which it's going to be connected to. Now, as Rashi points out over here, this is in contradistinction to most trees or all other trees. All other trees, what year is it connected to? Not when you pick the fruit off of the tree, but rather, chanata. Once the fruit makes its emergence on the tree itself, that's the year which it's going to be connected to. And it's not going to be lakita, it's not going to be when I'm plucking it off the tree. So why is esrog different? Because esrog has a different derech. Because the pathway of an esrog tree is different. I.e., its irrigation system is going to be different than that of your standard tree. So once again, the Gemara now has successfully explained, why do I use the word derech as it relates to an esrog? Because it has a different mannerism. It behaves differently, and that's why we're using the word derech over there. Okay, so far so good. We have now been defending the choice of derech, the word choice of derech, now in a number of Mishnayos here in Kedushin, the Mishnah in Zavin, the Mishnah in Bikurim, three different Mishnayos using the word derech, and we have defended that choice of word. We're continuing. V'adnan. We have another Mishnah. This also happens to be in Bikurim as well. Kol yesh bo derechim shev lechai, v'yesh bo derechim shev lebehema. V'yesh bo derechim shev lechai ulebehema, v'yesh bo derechim sheinu shev lo lechai v'lo lebehema. Okay, so we have the koi. So the koi is an animal that is somewhere between a behemoth and a chaya. Unclear in terms of which category to put it under. Again, over here, I'll go through it briefly and a little too quickly. And that is that you have two categories of animals. You have behemah and you have chaya. Behemah, domesticated animals. Chaya, wild animals. Right? My definition. You don't have to love it. So the as far as the behemah is concerned, so certain halachas apply to it. Same thing is true regarding chaya. Specific halachas apply to the chaya. Two notable differences between behemah and chaya. When it comes to behemah, the chaylev of behemah is aser. And when you shecht behemah, you don't have to do the mitzvah of kisrei adam. Now we turn to chaya. So the chaylev of chaya is mutter. And you do have to do kisrei adam when you shecht a chaya. Good. This koi animal, where is it categorically? A little bit of a question mark. And because if it's a, and there really are options, meaning it could be a behemah, it could be a chaya, it could be a hybrid. Right here, hybrid, by the way, I'm using the word literally. Right? It could be a cross between the two. It could be beria bifnei atzma. Okay, there are a lot of suggestions or possibilities of what the koi could be. So because of this question mark, so therefore, its halacha sometimes is going to be more like a behemoth, more like a chaya, a little bit like both, and a little bit like neither. And again, go through Rashi over here. Again, you'll forgive me. I'm gonna bypass the details over here. We are just focusing on the word derech that's used, right? In some manner. Now, again, the Mishnah could have used the word dvarim or davar. It didn't have to use the word derech. And it chose the word derech.
Do we apply the chumra of each category to the koi?
Yeah, correct. In other words, the koi's chaylev you will not be able to eat, but at the same time, you'd still have to do the mitzvah of kisrei adam. But the kisrei adam mitzvah is only done by suffik. And then see the first Mishnah in Beitza that goes over that point. Anyway.
Why is davar better than?
So Rashi on yesterday's daf, it's a fair question, right? Let me just repeat the question. Why is davar a better word than derech? Like, why are we spending so much real estate in today's daf going over how davar is a better word? So Rashi yesterday said, and again, not that I particularly understand it, but Rashi says it's the mishum ki urcha de gemara. So in other words, it's just a more standardized usage of language. Now it's funny, by the way, I quote the Rashi and I do understand it. Meanwhile, we've just covered four Mishnayos. So you wanted to say, tell me that the standardized usage of the Gemara is to use the word Dvarim as opposed to Derech. We just quoted four Mishnayos. I don't know, four seems like a lot. I guess, and this is where my knowledge of Mishnayos is obviously incomplete, but I guess if I knew my Mishnayos inside and out and backwards and forwards, I would be able to cite, dozens and dozens of Mishnayos that use the word Dvar. Okay. I wish I could do that. I can't do that. Anyway, so the... Okay, we did that. So nisnei devarim. So the Gemara says over there the word devarim should be used, and the word devarim should be used. And by the way, any of the answers that we gave earlier are not going to work over here, right? The behavior is different, the mannerisms are different, right? In other words, what lessons can we learn from the word derech as opposed to davar? So the Gemara says that's a great question. I don't know. Visu hadinan, and on top of that, also a Mishnah in Gittin. So the Gitei Nashim, right? This is a Masechta we just finished. We spent 3 months with this Masechta, otherwise known as Gittin. And Gitei Nashim and Shechurei Avadim share a number of common characteristics. And that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. And what word does the Mishnah use? You guessed it. The Mishnah uses the word Derech. This is Echad Min HaDerachim Sheshav Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. So nisnei devarim. So the Gemara says, so why don't we use the word davar? Okay, so now, everyone take stock. Five different Mishnahs that we've cited between yesterday's daf and today's daf, where the word derech is used as opposed to the word davar. Again, davar is the standard. That's the default setting. And when it changes from davar to derech, because it means something. It's significant. The problem, of course, is that we, at this point in time, don't know its significance. We gave a couple of suggestions, but those were localized suggestions that only helped in certain Mishnayos, but did not really give us a common thread in terms of why Derech is used as opposed to Davar. So Ella, so the Gemara here now is going to have a breakthrough, right? This is it. Meaning, right, a bit of a lengthy discussion, but this is it. The Gemara now is going to finally arrive at a Eureka moment, right? Probably the Gemara knew this Eureka moment. The Gemara was just kind of setting itself up for it. But here we have a Eureka moment in terms of what Derech is trying to communicate. Ella. Gimel Amud Aleph, if you're not following, we are just short halfway down on the Amud. Kol hecha deika plukta tini derachim v'chol hecha deleika plukta tini devarim. So the Gemara says like this. In other words, when there are distinctions in the halacha. So in other words, there are carve-outs. So there are branches, pathways, if you will. That's when we're going to use the word derech. Derech means that in certain ways it's going to be like this, and in certain ways it's going to be like that. So when it branches out and there are distinctions to be made, that's when we're going to be using the word derech. As opposed to when it's a flat halacha and no distinctions, no compartmentalization, so then we'll use the word dover. Now, so the Gemara says in Dekanami, Dektani, and in fact, a careful reading of the Mishnah would indicate, because the Dektani Sefer, because if I go back to that Mishnah Gittin, Rabbi Lazar Omer Esrog, no, I didn't mean that. I meant the Mishnah Bikurim. Okay, sorry. Rabbi Lazar Omer Esrog Shavali Ilan Lechol Davar. Ah, beautiful. In other words, and the Mishnah then cites the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Meaning before Rabbi Lazar, so what was the Esrog? Sometimes like this, sometimes like that, sometimes like an Ilan, sometimes like a Yerek. So that's why we use the word Derachim. Ah, but then when citing the position of Rabbi Lazar, who says that, you know what an Esrog is? It's an Ilan, period. And what word does he use? Lechol Davar. Beautiful. Right? In other words, this really is the explanation in terms of when the word derech is used as opposed to when the word davar is used.
Correcting your masa lefi...
Lefi chanata. Correct, correct. Okay. Shmamina. So the Gemara now finally concludes then, and that finishes really our first discussion. So between yesterday and half of today's daf, so what do we do? The first four words of the Mishnah. Okay? Really, really carefully reading every one of the words and what are those words trying to communicate to us. Okay. Real iyun, if you will. Even though, of course, we're doing bikis, we're just doing the daf. But in terms of analysis, probing analysis of the Mishnah, we really sat on Ha'isha Niknes B'Shalosh Derachim. Okay. Now the Gemara story continues. We are in Gimel Amud Aleph at the two dots. So Minyana Deresh Lamute Mai, Minyana Deseif Lamute Mai. Okay. Simple question. When the Mishnah gives us a list and the Mishnah tells us a number of how many we're going to go over, so that number obviously is significant. What's the number trying to tell us? Very simple. It's this list and that's it. We are capping it. There are three ways in which a man is Mekadesh a woman. When the Mishnah says three, the Mishnah didn't have to say the word three, meaning we know how to count. The Mishnah says Kesef Shtar Ubiya. So that gives us three. So when the Mishnah says three, it's Lim Me'ute. It's obviously coming to exclude. And the same thing is true when it comes to the two mentioned in terms of how does a woman exit marriage. She exits marriage with either get or misa. And the number two, why the number two? Meaning we know how to count. So it's lima'ute. Again, it's the same thing. It's coming to exclude. So what is it coming to exclude? Minyana deresh lamute mai, minyana deseif lamute mai. Minyana deresh lamute chupa. So the Gemara says, well, as far as the minyan of the first three, it's coming to exclude chupa. Meaning as follows. How are you Mekadesh a woman? Again, Kedushin is the first stage of marriage. It is effectively a kinyan. It creates an acquisition. Go back to yesterday's daf where I explained acquisition as it relates to husband and wife. Okay, but either way, it creates an acquisition. I'm just going to say it right now, kipshuto, every time with an asterisk of going back to yesterday in terms of what that how to better understand that in marriage. But okay, for our purposes right now, kinyan. So Kedushin is a kinyan. Now, so since it's a kinyan, so what are the ways to effect kinyan? So that's the Mishnah, kesef, shtar, or bia. You could have entertained that there's a fourth possibility, and that is chuppah. Okay, now, chuppah is the second stage of marriage. What is chuppah? What a loaded question. Okay, what is chuppah? Okay, we never get clarity in the Gemara. Okay, I cannot believe I'm going to say this, but it's absolutely true. We never get clarity in the Gemara in terms of what chuppah actually is. The second stage of marriage, Ben is articulating my thought. The second stage of marriage, where now husband and wife go from being erusin to now nisuin. So it's done via chuppah, and what chuppah actually is, a little bit of a mystery. Meaning, when I say a little bit of a mystery, the Rishonim have opinions. Right? The Rambam, for example, says that it's yichud, that's roi labia. Right, once they seclude themselves one with another, so that is going to be the definition of chuppah. The Gemara itself never gives a definition of what chuppah actually is. And yes, it is a curiosity. Right, Ben articulated it. I thought of it. It's definitely curiosity why the Gemara never actually expresses what it is. Okay, but in other words, but it's something. I know that's strange, but it is. It's something. According to the Gemara right now, chuppah is the second stage of marriage, but it can't be used. Let's assume like the Rambam. Let's just call it yichud. Okay? Just write the... So you can't do yichud to effect kiddushin. That's what our Mishnah is coming to teach us. Now the Gemara says, now that's very interesting. Now it happens to be the opinion of Rav Huna, which we're going to be introduced to on Daf Hei, 2 days from now. So Rav Huna says that chuppah can be used for kiddushin. Oh. So now, and he's going to learn it out through a kavachomer, and on Daf Hei we'll go through the kavachomer together. Okay, now, according to Rav Huna, so what's the number three coming to be? Memait, not chuppah. He believes the chuppah belongs there. So lemute chalipin. So what is coming to exclude is chalipin. So sagdat chamino hol v'gamar kicha kicha misdei afron. And the Gemara says, you know, how do we know regarding kesef that kesef is going to work? Because of gzeira shava. Right? We will be spending time on the gzeira shava tomorrow, in tomorrow's daf. Of kicha kicha misdei afron. Right? The Avram Avinu purchased the field of Maras HaMachpela, and he purchased it with kesef. And the word kicha is used over there. The word kicha is used in the context of marriage, of kiddushin. So just like the purchasing of property is done with kesef, so to marriage is also done via kesef. Okay? The gzeira shava, I would say the most popular gzeira shava in all of the Gemara. So so which is coming up in tomorrow's daf. So what the Gemara now is expressing is, here's what I would have thought. Masad de mekanya bechalipin, afisha name mekanya bechalipin. So kamash malan. So now, do you know what another way is that you can acquire a field? You could do so via chalipin. So if I can acquire a field via chalipin, so therefore I can do kiddushin via chalipin as well. Right? That's the havamina. The Gemara says kamash malan. And the chiddush is that no, you cannot do kiddushin via chalipin. And that's what the number three is coming to be mamayit. Okay. If you're wondering, because I've used the word chalipin already numerous times, if you're wondering, what's chalipin? So chalipin is a way to make a kinyan. Okay, that's somewhat helpful. Let's see if I can do a little bit better in terms of explaining what chalipin is. The source of chalipin as a kinyan is Sefer Rus. Right, open up to a Sefer Rus, the fourth parak over there, and now what's happening is a transaction is about to occur. Both the field of Machlon and Kilion, And not only the field, but the widow of Machlon, so is up for a transaction, up for kinyanim. And the psukim over there go on to describe that a kinyan is going to be done with a symbolic act of chalipin. Now, I would say chalipin is transfer, but that English word is not good to describe what chalipin is. Chalipin is really a symbolic act that shows that we have transferred ownership. As opposed to shtar is a contract. As opposed to kesef, I'm giving you money. We can even call it a down payment. But over here, chalipin is just simply a symbolic act. Probably a modern translation of chalipin would be a handshake. Okay.
Art scroll says it means exchange.
I'm excited. That's good.
It's an act to concretize a transaction.
Right. Correct. It's a symbolic act to concretize a transaction. What happens with chalipin is the following. I hold up an item of value. Now, when I say an item of value, by the way, it doesn't have to be an item of value. As we're about to express in just a moment, it could be less than a shava pruta. It does not have to be of any kind of real value. I can hold it up and I can say, here, I'm going to now transfer over to you my, could be anything. It could be a movable item, it could be metatlin, it could be karka, it could be property. It don't matter. And I can now say, here, you'll take this pencil from me, okay? And when you take from this pencil from me, so that symbolic act now is going to transfer from whatever item we agreed that's going to be transferred.
Okay? It was a handshake before there was COVID.
Oh, correct. That's why I say handshake is probably a good example of that. But I'm sorry, what?
Pesach we do.
Ah, right, Pesach. And right on Pesach when we authorize the rabbi to go ahead and to be my proxy. To go ahead and to sell the chametz, so we do chalipin, right? The chalipin is now the symbolic act. Okay, now handshake, by the way, is just a little bit off of what we're describing over here, because in a handshake, I'm not handing anything over to him; I'm giving him my hand. So I'm not sure if handshake
is like a symbolic act.
Right? Correct. But it really is. It really is a symbolic act that concretizes a transaction. That's really what it is. Okay. The Gemara Bar Mitzia, right? Rashi over here cites Mem Zayin. The Gemara Bar Mitzia is unclear who is handing the pencil over to whom. Is buyer handing it over to seller? Seller handing it over to buyer? See the Gemara Bar Mitzia that debates that very issue. Okay, a little bit of mystery surrounding the chalipin, but here our point is as follows. Okay, our point is that our Mishnah says that kedushin can be affected in one of three ways, and not chalipin. That's our point. Our point over here is that according to Rav Huna, which chuppah would be a mechanism, a means in which you could do kedushin, but chalipin, you can't do kedushin via chalipin. That's the point that we're making.
But doesn't the man have to hand the woman the document with intent to marry her?
Again, what the man has to do is he has to be kona, he has to acquire.
No, but she has to receive it in her hand, right? The document, no?
Well, you're talking about shtar, you're talking about chalipin. So by shtar, you have to give her the shtar. You have to physically give her the shtar. But we're not discussing shtar right now.
But that's a form of chalipin also, no?
No, shtar is a different category. Shtar is a different category. Right? Shtar is a different category.
But it's not a form of chalipin?
No. No. Shtar, well, the
meaning of the shtar is not a form of chalipin.
No. Okay, good. So the Gemara says like this. So what we're proposing over here is that the chalipin should be the chalipin could have been thought of to be used for the kinyan, and consider it works by karka, it works by metalton. So why doesn't it work by kedushin? That's what our Mishnah is coming to tell me. It doesn't work. So the Gemara says that's interesting. Well, why not? Right. So now bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph, the Eima Achinami. So the Gemara says okay. So I don't understand. So in other words, it sounds great. If I could be kona kark, if I could be kona metaltalin, so why can't you be kona a woman regarding chalipin? So the hachinami chalipin is nu bepachos mishava pruta. The isha bepachos mishava pruta, lo mikanya nafsha. So the Gemara gives a very succinct explanation in terms of why chalipin doesn't work, because chalipin works with something with an item less than a shava pruta, and I already made this point. But you know me, I only made this point because I read ahead. Right, the Gemara tells us that chalipin, you can use any instrument, any item for chalipin. Right, I'm holding up my mechanical pencil, but it could be anything, and it does not have to. It could be a paperclip. It does not have to be shavapruta. And a woman is not going to be mekanya nafsha with less than a shavapruta. Now I'm going to present the Gemara here like Rashi. Right, Tosu specifically, Rabbeinu Tam cannot imagine that Rashi is correct, but that's well beyond the scope of the daf. See the bottom Tosfos over here on the Amud Aleph, Visha Bepachos Mishava Prutala Mekanya Nafsha, where he cites Rashi, and then he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who categorically rejects Rashi's explanation, but meanwhile, let's say over Rashi. And Rashi says like this. In other words, as far as a woman's concerned, look, she is allowing herself to be acquired, right? In other words, a kinyan's occurring, and she's allowing herself to be acquired. And she's going to allow herself to be acquired in less than a Shava Pruta. So the way Rashi understands it, a woman, pachas mishava pruta la mekanya nafsha. Now, what is a woman's worth? A lot more than a pruta. Okay. I hope nobody thought I would say differently. Okay. Right. A lot more than a pruta. That's an understatement. In other words, but within the legal system of kiddushin, so a kinyan needs to occur. And so the kinyan via kesef has to be done with a shava pruta. In other words, it's just simply, it's a legalism in that there's an understanding that obviously if you want to talk about what her actual worth is, it's more than a pruta. And by the way, as we already pointed out yesterday, again, go back to yesterday, you're not acquiring her. In other words, it's not acquisition like a property, and it's not acquisition. I know we're going to be spending the first three, four blot of the Masechta talking about, we know King and Kesef because of the Kicha Mistei Afron, and I know we are comparing it to that of the purchasing of a field, but that's just a Gzeirah Shavah, that's a comparison in terms of allowing us to learn that Kesef works. What a good catch. But in terms of the actual acquisition itself, you're not acquiring her. It's not an acquisition of her goof. Okay, we know that. I'm pointing out things that we know. So over here, still the way the Rashi understands the Gemara's question, there is going to be a minimum threshold. Meaning there has to be a base minimum of money. It has to be a significant amount of money, halachically significant amount of money, or anything less than that. She's not ready to allow herself to be miskadeshes with anything less than a pachas mishava pruta. That's Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. See Tosfos, who has a lengthy response to Rashi.
Rashi says if you give it to her, the lotion kinyan, or the lotion kicha, then it would be okay. That's what Rashi's saying. Even though it's not a
shulakuta.
See, Rashi says, don't stop there.
Yeah. I know. Rashi writes, I'll read the Rashi. Right? In other words, it's beneath her.
Right.
Silkach batel leila taras chalipin bekedushin. Ve'afila beklishi yesh bo shavar pruta. And then Rashi says, okay, now what if I affect chalipin? This is another point in Rashi. What if I affect chalipin with an item that is above a shavar pruta? So Rashi says, "Iyavla b'lashon chalipin, ad yavla b'taras lashon kinyan, okicha okidushin." No, so Rashi says, "So, but then you have to use the right tool. Meaning, if I use chalipin, it's no good. What Rashi's bothered by over here is that if the issue is her da'as and how much she, you know, and what's beneath her. So, what if I'm using chalipin with something greater than a shavruta? Meaning, once chalipin is off the table." So then that's it. It's off. It's simply off the table. And it doesn't matter now whether the item that I'm using is going to be greater or less than a shavar pruta. Okay.
That's, if you take an item that's worth more than a shavar pruta and use the lotion of kinyan or the lotion of...
of kesef.
Yeah, then
it's good. Then it's good. Perfect. Okay. So fine. So we have now covered over here the Gemara's question of minyana deresha. Why the number three? Why Kesef Shtar and Bia? And then the Mishnah then also has to say these are the three ways, Shalosh Derachim, and the answer is because it's Lema'ute, it's to exclude. Either it's coming to exclude Chuppah, but according to Rav Huna, who includes Chuppah, it's then coming to exclude Chalipin as well. Good. Continuing in the Gemara. Minyana de Seifa Lema'ute Chalitza. So the what about Minyana de Seifa? How does a woman exit a marriage? So over here it's coming to exclude Chalitza. And the Gemara goes on to explain. So over here, when it comes to Yavama, Yavama cannot exit her situation with a get. And meanwhile, Chalitza works. Over here, a regular woman who can exit her marriage via get. So I might have thought that Chalitza works. The Gemara says, okay, but the Kav HaChomer, that argument seems to be a really sound and strong argument. Gemara says, no, not necessarily. I'm sorry. The argument is good. So the Gemara says, but we have a drasha. And as much as you can make arguments in Kav HaChomers, but if we have a drasha, the drasha is always going to override a Kav HaChomer. And the Pasuk and the drasha over here teach us that. There's only really one way in which you can create severance between husband and wife, and that's only through a get, and that's it. Now, it's funny, by the way, there's only one way, meaning the Mishnah tells us there are two ways. But death and divorce are fundamentally different, right? Death is the absence of the husband. But in other words, but when the husband is present. So how can severance be created? Only one way, and that's through get. Okay, bekesef. Okay, let's begin. Okay, this is the Gemara's discussion now, turning its attention to now money. Money is an instrument in which a man can be mekadesh a woman. One of three different ways in which a man can be mekadesh a woman. Gemara's question over here is very simple, minale. Okay? A very, very simple three-word question. Where do I know that? What is the source to tell me that kesef is a way to be mekadesh a woman? Kedushin operates min ha-Torah, ki yikach ish isha. So he's going to take her, but take her over here means halachically, legally. Kedushin. The Torah then does not describe how exactly it's done. And we have a Mishnah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, that tells us that it can be done with Kesef, Shtar, or Bia. So our job for the remainder of today's daf and tomorrow's daf is going to be, what is the source for Kesef? How do I know? How do I know that Kesef is in fact going to be a valid way, a mechanism in which you could do the Kiddushin? Visu HaDinan. And the Gemara says, and while we're on the topic, I'm going to ask another question as well. And this is going to be a Mishnah in Ksuvos. The Mishnah over there says, Avzaka bebita bekedusha bekesef b'shar bebia. So as far as the father's right over his daughter, right? A father has a daughter, so he could be mekadesh his daughter. A point that we go over time and again, and the Mishnah Ksuvos really speaks it out. And that means to say that the father has full authorization in which he could be marrying off his daughter using any one of the three tools, the three mechanisms of Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So minalan demikne bekesef. So over there, we're going to ask the same question. How do we know that Kesef is going to be a valid way in doing so? And bekesef davuahu. And over there, we really have a sub-question as well. Meaning, once we establish Kesef, how do I know that the father is going to be the recipient of the Kesef? Meaning, maybe the father is authorized to marry off his daughter, but maybe it's the daughter who's going to be receiving the money and not the father. So we have really now, it's going to be like one question and one sub-question. So the first question is, how do I know the Kesef works, period? Simple. And how do I know that when the father is Mekadish's daughter via Kesef, so how do I know that it works there as well? Kind of a similar question to the principal question. And then, as a secondary point, and how do I know that the father is in fact going to be receiving the money of the Kesef Kiddushin? So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Damar Krav, Yatzachina Min Kesef. So the Gemara turns its attention to the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, where we describe the Amma Ivriya, a woman that was sold into servitude. Now, whenever discussing Avda, so we always have to make a distinction between an Eved Kanani and Eved Ivri. Here we're talking about an Eved Ivri, but because we're talking about a woman, so we're really talking about an Amma Ivriya. Okay, so the father sells her off into servitude, but servitude over here does not mean she's a slave. It means that she is going to be indentured until she grows up. Now, should the father be doing this? What a wonderful question. Okay, a hashkafic point, which is worthwhile, but right now we're doing the Gemara and we're focusing on the halacha. But it is more than worthwhile to go over the hashkafa of whether or not the Torah is condoning this activity and promoting this activity. But right now we're just dealing with the legals of, in other words, when he does so, because the Torah gives him the right to do so. So now what happens? In other words, she'll be indentured. She'll be working for her master. And again, just this is Amma Ivriya. So this is not ownership. But she'll be working for him until she grows up. And when she grows up, she goes free. Now, what the owner should really do now is that he should be marrying her. Okay? But he doesn't have to.
He should get at least with option to
purchase. Right, correct. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, yes. So he doesn't have to. So and in fact, if he does not exercise his right to marry her, so now she's going to go free. And the Torah's description over here is v'yatza chinam. She goes free. Now, she goes free, by the way, the word free over here, again, this is an entirely legal discussion. So yatza chinam meaning that he does not get any compensation when she goes free. And then the Torah goes on to say in kesef, or in other words, in the pasuk itself, probably it writes in kesef. So now those two words are extraneous. In other words, once you see the words v'yatza chinam, you already know in kesef. And so it begs the question, in kesef, what's the in kesef coming to teach me? Ah, in kesef ladon zeh, v'yesh kesef ladon acher. Umanihu av. Oh. In other words, in a parallel scenario where she's going to be exiting somebody, so then there's going to be kesef, and not only that, but the kesef is going to go to the father. Now, I already gave away the answer. What's the parallel scenario? And the answer is that when she is not sold into indentured servitude, but rather when she remains with the father, and the father goes ahead and marries her off. And now, who's going to be recipient of that money? The answer is going to be the father.
Deduction.
Oh. So in other words, so basically what happens over here is that we're learning from Amma Ivriya to standard Kiddushin. Amma Ivriya, the money, does not go to the Adon. The Torah says that clearly. Not only does the Torah say it clearly, it says it two times over. Yatza Chinam and Ein Kasef. So the Ein Kasef there is a tip. It's a drasha. It tells me that in that scenario, Ein Kasef, but in a comparable scenario, there would be Kasef. And not only that, but the Kasef would go to the father. The Gemara says, great. Maybe here's what the conclusion we can arrive at. Maybe you're right. Maybe there would be kesef. In other words, then maybe the only thing that we can conclude is that kesef would be a vehicle in which kedushin can be done. But maybe if we have her now being miskadeshes, so maybe she'll be the recipient of the money. How do I know the father's receiving the money? The Torah doesn't say that. All the Torah tells me is that in the case of Amma Ivriya, ain kesef. The Adon doesn't get the Kesef. But maybe in the case of the father marrying off his daughter, his minor daughter, maybe there would be kesef, but she would be the recipient. Hachi hashta. Avia mekabel kiddushin dechsiv as biti nasat elisha zeh v'i shakla kaspa. So the Gemara says, well, that's untenable, because if the father is going to be the one doing the kiddushin, is biti nasati elisha zeh, so you don't think he's going to be the recipient of the money? So the Gemara says, okay, I can understand that while she's a katana, so while she's a katana, she doesn't have a yad. She does not have a legal hand. So I can understand how the father can marry her off as a katana, and I could also not only entertain, but conclude that the father is going to be the one receiving the kesef kiddushin. However, you know, the father can marry her off even while she's a naira. And as such, how do I know that the father is going to be receiving the kesef kiddushin while she's a naira? So we have a pasuk in Parshas Matos in the Parsha of Nedarim, where it says that the shevach nairus, that while she's a naira, she's still under the jurisdiction of the father. So the Gemara says that pasuk in Parshas Nedarim can't be a source. Why? Because we want to know, how do I know that the Maisa Abasa, the earnings of the daughter, go to the father? And we have a pasuk, the pasuk of Vichim Kor Ishes Bito La'ama. So if the Ama's Maisa Yadev, her earnings go to her master, so to the daughter's earnings go to her father. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Why do I need a drasha? In other words, typically, maybe no Rabbi Savia. Just tell me, just use a pasuk in Afaras Nedarim. Ella ba'afaras Nedarim u'dichsiv hachanami ba'afaras Nedarim u'dichsiv. So the Gemara says, you know why we didn't use the pasuk by Afaras Nedarim? It's very simple. Because the pasuk in Afaras Nedarim only teaches us about, get ready, Afaras Nedarim. That the father can go ahead and annul the vow of his daughter. So that's the only thing the pasuk is there coming to teach me. And it's true that the daughter is put under the jurisdiction of the father. That's true. But only as it relates to Afaras Nedarim. Now, v'chitim anelof minei, so the Gemara says, okay, but can't we learn from there? The Gemara says, no, of course we can't. Mamonim isur lo yafinan. Well, we can't learn from there, because that's mamon. Because that's iser. And you can't learn out mamon from iser. V'chitim anelof mikenasa. Well, why don't we learn out from kenas? Now, over here, we're going to pause. In other words, there's no good place to pause over here. So we'll pause over here. And we'll pick it up tomorrow, because this is a run-on sentence that goes well into tomorrow's daf. So to be continued. Okay, let's quickly recap. Let's review. Okay, first part of today's daf is once again a really careful analysis of the first four words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah Aisha Niknes B'Sholosh Darachim. So why every one of those choices of words, and why the syntax? So that's what we spent the first day and a half of the Masechta going over, and that took us to Gimel Amud Aleph. Good. And why the word Derachim? Derach is where there is distinctions to be made, as opposed to the word Davar, where there is no distinctions to be made. Okay. It took the Gemara a while to make that point, but that was the first point of today's daf. Why the number three? We can count. Kesef Shtar Bia, so why does the Mishnah say the number three? It's Lema'ute. It's either coming to exclude Kiddushin cannot be done via chuppah, although Rav Huna disagrees with that point, or it's coming to exclude that Kiddushin cannot be affected through chalipin. Okay. Then, on the number two, what's the exclusionary term of two? How is a woman not going to be able to leave her marriage? She can't leave her marriage via chalitza. You could have made a kal v'chomer. The Gemara says, yeah, that's exactly the point. You could have made a kal v'chomer. We don't make a kal v'chomer. And then the remainder of today's daf, very simple question. Kesef. How do I know that Kiddushin can be done with Kesef? And then a sub-question, and how do I know that when the father accepts Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter, A, it's done through Kesef, and B, that the father is going to be the recipient of that money. How do I know that? So we are right now in the middle of exactly that discussion.